So that's the background where these four reminders come from. And the fourth reminder is the human, precious human life, which is in itself. There's a whole chapter on that that occurs previously to this teaching in the dual ornament. There's a whole chapter about the working basis, which is the precious human life. So he's already said a lot about it previous to this. So the fourth reminder, is the precious human life, which is sustaining, it's encouraging. It also tells us that there's a need for urgent reflection on our present state of, you know, humanness, because it's such an opportunity. But also, it's precarious. Things can happen, and out of the blue, circumstances that we took for granted and thought, I'll do that next year. Actually, sometimes we're not going to be able to do it next year. So there's such an opportunity, such a precious opportunity in this precious human life. But take on board its precariousness, and from that comes a sense of urgency. So just to say it again slightly differently, we've got the four reminders. So there's precious human life. Now that in itself is supported by faith, and it's also supported by reflections on what are known as the eight freedoms and the ten endowments. So we're going to be doing those reflections on the retreat. I'm going to say more about them this evening. So just note for the moment that the practice of the precious human life reminder is supported by reflecting on the eight freedoms and ten endowments. And that reminder in itself seems to me to be an antidote to complacency, because it does give rise to this urgency. That in itself seems to me then it's acting as an antidote to complacency. I think it also acts as an antidote to doubt. And I'm saying that on the basis of having been in two previous retreats when we've done these reflections on the freedoms and endowments. And you do get left with you think, well, that's in my life, and that's in my life too, and that's in my... And it's just such an encouraging, optimistic a reflection to do, so that when doubt arises, because I dare say, well, it certainly arises in me, and I dare say it arises in most of us, then... they're just great reflections to bring to oppose that doubt. So then the second reminder, impermanence. That, I think, is supported by our going for refuge and our going forth. And it's the antidote to the attachment to this life's activities. So I'm suggesting that it's supported by our going for refuge and going forth, because somewhere it's saying to us, go forth, move away from some of these activities. Don't give some of these activities the weight or the centrality or the importance in your life that you're doing. Doesn't mean that, you know, that to be eradicated. Doesn't mean that they're wrong or bad or anything like that. Just take on board that what an opportunity this is, but it's so transient. And really kind of bring, you know, your own sense of going for refuge. Going for refuge is being aware of what you want to move towards, isn't it? Going forth is a willingness to move away from certain things. If you make a choice to go towards something, you do make choice. Inherent in that is a choice to move away from other things. So I think whatever other methods we have to sustain our going for refuge and going forth will also sustain that reflection on impermanence as an antidote to attachment to this life's activities. So then the third reminder, reflections on actions, causes and effects. I think that is, just suggesting myself here, I think that is supported by study and reflection on conditionality in general, our conditionedness, perhaps also there's a sense of interconnectedness that comes from that. So the clearer you are about conditionality, then the better a support that will be to this reflection on actions, causes and effects. And the actions, causes and effects as the antidote to attachment to the pleasures of samsara in general. That is translated in other places as the futility of things in samsara. And the fourth reminder, the faults of samsara, I'd suggest that's supported by whatever there is in us of a sense of renunciation as a positive practice. And I was listening to a talk recently where there was a connection made between renunciation and the practice of offering the mandala, which is a Tibetan, I think, well, as we know, it's a Tibetan practice. I don't know if it's older than that, but where you offer everything in your life, you offer the universe, itself, you offer it back to the universe. So it's a very positive thing to do, very positive. But actually, what you're doing is giving up, giving back. So there is, it's a very positive Vajrayana. Practice that actually is about renunciation. So it's renunciation in a very positive setting. So the more we have a sense of renunciation as a positive sense, the more I think that supports the reflections on the faults of samsara. Then that's an attitude to that's also the attitude to the pleasures of samsara. So those are the four reminders and how they link up with what they're antidotes to. So that's the main area where we're going to be reflecting on over the next 8 days. But just for the sake of completeness, I'll just carry on a bit in Gampopa system because alongside those particular instructions from our spiritual friends, there are other instructions. So acting alongside the four reminders are these two. First one is practice of metta bhavana and the Karana Bhavana. So you ask yourself, well, what supports my practice of those? And mindfulness generally does. What occurred to me was taking the precepts, taking and acting on the precepts supports both of those. And they then are the antidote to attachment to peace of nirvana and a certain sense of complacency. And then the other instructions from our spiritual friends are all the practices that help us cultivate the bodhicitta, and that's an antidote to not understanding the means to enlightenment. So, there are practices that are specifically about cultivating the bodhicitta. There's the bodhicitta practice, and the Tonglen practice is part of that. But Brahma Viharas generally will support the rising of the bodhicitta. Actually, I think the prostration and refuge tree practice, if those of you who've learnt that, you've been to Tiruttaloka, you have certainly done it. But you may have been taught it in other places. And I think that's a support to cultivating the bodhicitta. Any practice that's about exchanging self and other does that.